happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Last emperor of fashion has died at 93.
The real narco terrorists, it turns out, are Trump and RFK Jr. We'll tell you why.
Heated Rivalry star says it could not have been made in the U.S., and the NHL commissioner weighs in on it.
Andy will review Ian McKellen in the virtual reality play The Ark.
Yes, and Jonathan Bailey and Ariana Grande of Wicked are reunited for a Sondheim musical, stage musical.
Well, Trump is still at it, and it's still a mess. And
he wouldn't acknowledge Martin Luther King Day until Monday night, and then it just ended up being something horrible that he wrote. So. But he did mark the day by threatening to prosecute Don Lemon under the Ku Klux Klan Act, because Don Lemon was a reporter at that church that was being disrupted because the minister was an ICE agent.
Right. Literally an ICE agent. This is in Minneapolis, and the pastor of the church is an employee of ICE. And so activists went into the church and spoke up during the service to reveal that this pastor was an ICE agent.
You know something about that.
I am very familiar, but I was silent. I lay in the middle aisle of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Others spoke up, but in, you know, controlled ways. And then we all got arrested and six of us went to trial. And I've lived to tell the tale. So what's the big deal? Well, but anyway, Don Lemon was there covering it and was accused by the Trump administration of being a sort of provocateur in the middle of it. So now they're taking advantage of his celebrity to threaten prosecution.
Don Lemon says, why aren't you investigating the killing of Renee Good, which they're not.
That's right. They're investigating everyone but the killer.
Well, I mean, you know, we had referred to Renee Good's wife. Becca Good was not her wife. It was her partner. And they are raising her third child together. But they were. The Trump administration, I mean, there are right wingers now, like Megyn Kelly, baying for Becca, the partner, to be held responsible for the murder.
Because she was snarky to the agent.
She caused it.
Well, the other thing is, I've been thinking about this. I've seen the tape 10 million times. I've been reading analyses of this. And what I've realized, because the key is what he said after he shot her, effing bitch. And everybody says, but she was being so nice to him. You know, she said, I'm not mad at you, dude. But the thing is, when someone in her position says that to someone, she is asserting a certain presence and power in that situation, an equivalence at least of humanity. And he doesn't want that. He wants her submissive.
Exactly.
And she was not submissive.
And that's what they're all saying on the right. Well, if you would just obey, then everything would be fine. You have to do what we say. She was trying to get away from him.
Right. He wanted her to get, they all wanted her to get out of the car. And she just said no. But she was, you know, signaling cars to go by her. She was saying, I'm not mad at you. But he didn't want her to have that agency.
Right.
He wanted her to submit. And that's why he shot her. And that's why he said that after he shot her.
So ICE agents everywhere now are invoking Renee Good in a very bad way. And we have this testimony from one woman who was subjected to it.
Can you tell us what happened to you?
So first off, I'm a United States Marine veteran. We were following them from a safe distance.
Following ICE agents.
Yep, following ICE agents. They tried, they stopped in the middle of the road and reversed on 62. They tried to ram our car. They broke my window. They yanked me out by my neck. They threw me to the ground. They stomped on me. They pushed my face into the ground. They put the cuffs on as tight as possible to the point where it took 6 agents to try to get them off.
Okay, so they break the window. They haul you out. They're stomping on you. They're beating you. As they're doing this, are they saying anything?
Yeah, they were calling me a bunch of derogatory names, calling me it. They tried to break my ankle. When he turned my ankle all the way around, I screamed, and he said, "Yeah, I bet you f***ing like that, don't you?" I took an oath, and it's the oath that they're spinning on and stomping on, and this isn't Germany. They're Nazis. They're Gestapo. They think that they're above the law. They don't care.
What was your intention when you're out there following them? Are you out there to document what they're doing, to warn your friends and neighbors? Is that you know, that ICE is in your neighborhood? Like, is that what you were out there to do?
They shot my neighbor in the face this week. That's what I'm out there to prevent.
So there you are. Many vocal Trump supporters are demonizing Renee Good and her partner and their allies, and they are now using an acronym, AWFUL. You've read about this? Affluent White Female Urban Liberal. So look, this is part of the whole MAGA rebellion against feminism, against women's rights, against, you know, humanity of women.
Well, yes, absolutely. That's all part of it. And the other question that was raised this week was, is the public at large turning against the LGBTQ community?
Yes.
Is there less support? And they've got surveys around this. And I think generally there is some of that. I don't think it's totally widespread. But I think it's, again, this perception of us as the elite and being arrogant. And it's part of their anger at people who they think are arrogant in general.
Don't they know who the real elites are who are oppressing them?
Well, exactly. The people making billions of dollars in office.
Like Donald Trump, documented by the Times, to have enriched his family to the tune of $1.4 billion, that's what they've been able to document.
But
all illegal.
Yes.
You're not mad about that, MAGA.
No. No. It's not about logic. It's about a visceral feeling. You have to understand that, Andy. Get past the logic.
Okay.
It's all about...
Well, in the meantime, Gender Justice, the group, is trying to document all these ICE infractions and things. And they have a whole reporting system now because, you know, so much of it is based on gender these days.
Well, there was about to be a release of information on ICE agents. Something called ICE List was going to release a list of names of ICE agents.
Our side.
And it was hacked by Russian cyber hackers. Well, they're working in league with...
You mean our allies in Russia?
Yes. Trump's friends in Russia hacked the release of the list.
You know, we'll get to Greenland. But, you know, when Trump says, well, we have to protect Greenland from China and Russia, what are you talking about? They're your new allies. They're your buddies, autocrats.
Don't believe everything he says. There are also rumors that there's going to be a heavy ICE presence at the Super Bowl because Bad Bunny is the halftime performer, Puerto Rican, and the ICE theory is that there will be a lot of immigrants at the Super Bowl watching. Have they looked at the ticket prices?
Is he coming to the Super Bowl?
I don't know. He was at the college football.
How was he treated? I watched some of the game, but how was he treated?
I forgot it was on.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. Oh, we know how he was treated in Detroit. So
we skip
to that.
Staying on how ICE is treating people,
okay.
Got a picture of this gay couple, Jonathan Blanco Gallegos, and his husband, Elias Perez Zuazo. The ICE arrested the Perez Zuazo, who was undocumented originally from Panama, but was going through the process.
Absolutely. Totally yeah. on track. And his did they end up getting married? I guess they did.
They did get married.
Yeah. So the husband is a U.S. citizen, and the one who was grabbed is undocumented, but is totally working within the system to be legalized.
And again, they find some infraction that, you know, that a little thing you did some years ago, or entering illegally, but all that was in the past, and it was all being processed through the adjudication
and
process.
And coming into the country illegally 20 years ago and then working on legalizing yourself and working and paying taxes and everything is not the worst of the worst.
So what they say is, well, that was fine with Biden, but we are upholding the law, so we are going to abduct this guy.
Exactly. Meanwhile, ICE has stopped paying for medical care for detainees. They are happy to let people...
insane number of people dying at a very rapid pace are dying
in
because they're denied their medications.
Yep.
This is a...
That's their solution for how to... If they can't throw them out of the country, they're going to just let them die.
Right. Enough on ICE. Should we get to Greenland?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, among those in the congressional delegation that went to meet with the Danes and the Greenlandiers was out-trans congresswoman. Where is she? Sarah McBride. She's in the back there, way in the back on the, towards the left.
Yes.
Yes. But and the point is she was there. Now there's
I was very happy to see that she's given the legitimacy of being in a delegation.
Now there's kind of because that was a bipartisan delegation.
Mm-hmm.
There's also kind of a gay angle. Peter Thiel, gay monster, friend of, is particularly interested in Greenland, and his former business partner Ken Howery is our new Danish ambassador to Denmark. The thing is, it looks like the tech bros and the AI people, they all want the minerals and they want to set up a separate state in Greenland for themselves.
Don't listen to any of this stuff about security against Russia and China. That is not the point of taking Greenland. The point of taking Greenland is to have ownership of all these rare minerals.
And to set up this separate state for these wacko rich people who just want to live without rules.
The reason Trump is so adamant about getting Greenland is that the tech types are putting pressure on him.
Well, Zuckerberg and Bezos are investors in a startup to mine Western Greenland for the minerals.
It's all about the mining and ownership. And that's why Trump says we can't just negotiate a deal on more bases, because he doesn't care about more bases. What he cares about is giving these people ownership of the minerals.
Okay. So
don't forget that.
Okay. Shall we go on to give him a little bit of good news?
Well, the
Greenland, you have more Greenland?
Well, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to move on to what happened in the Senate this week.
Okay.
Democrats did in the Senate manage to strip away all the anti-trans riders from the final appropriations bills. We told you that might happen. The House passed a terrible bill, which would have been disastrous. And then there was an agreement to pause the anti-trans HHS declaration. Attorneys general from 22 states reached an agreement with the Department of Health and Human Services to pause enforcement of this likely unlawful declaration that seeks to restrict access to medically necessary health care for trans young people in every state, including places that are welcoming of them.
I mean, it's not illegal to treat trans youth in many places, but people are being bullied out of it. A new San Diego hospital has announced that it is ending trans youth medical care. It's terrible. And the Department of Defense has ordered it is not going to train HIV-positive recruits. Their HIV-positive people can join the armed forces, but DOD has now announced that they are not going to train them.
Why?
because they don't like people with HIV. Now, this is in spite of the fact that a court ordered them to train and incorporate people with HIV. But their answer is, well, that may change soon. That may change soon. You know why? Because the court order said that they were mandated to enlist people with HIV, but it didn't go to the court to say that they then had to add and train them. So DOD is saying we're not going to train them.
Well, let me tell you, when Harry Truman signed the order integrating the military with people of color back in 1948, that was the law. But when you got in there, it was pretty tough on them.
Well, that's true of so many things in so many places.
All right. We have a...
Well, let's take the bright light of Detroit, Michigan, where a Ford auto worker, Trump went to this Ford plant in Detroit and, I'm your president and I'm doing great things for you. And this one auto worker starts yelling at him, "You're a pedo protector." Trump gives him the finger and says,
like this. And you know what? That was a finger to the entire world.
And says, "F you." And so the auto worker got suspended from his job by...
Just suspended, not fired.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended. So.
Well, he doesn't need to work anymore. They raised more than $222,000 in a few hours and $800,000, and then they cut it off in a GoFundMe thing for him.
Yep. TJ Cibula.
Yeah, he's a hero.
Yep.
And more truth needs to be spoken to power.
Yep.
A federal judge ruled that there were breathtaking constitutional violations by senior administration officials and called the president an authoritarian for these deportation of students. That was a big ruling this week. And we have a picture of the judge, William Young, who was, I believe, a Republican appointee originally. But, he went after all these people and said, "You're not following the rule of law."
Was this the case of the college student who was going home to Texas to join her family for Thanksgiving, and she got grabbed and deported?
All that stuff.
Yeah. He blasted them. All right. But the next fun is with the Trump Kennedy Center. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my notes together here.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, we have Senator Kyrsten Sinema next on our list.
Do. Well, yes. So
Kyrsten Sinema served one term in the United States Senate and then decided she didn't want to be there anymore. And so she retired and didn't run again. And meanwhile, she went off and did, what did she do? I can't even remember, nor do I care. But
it's wacky, though.
Yeah. So she has now been found to be having an affair with her bodyguard during her Senate time. That's him.
Among others.
Oh, okay.
Well, the head of security for Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate quit because she was hitting on too many of the employees.
Well, she...
And it was always the men. So much for being bisexual.
Well, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. But his wife, this guy's wife, lives in North Carolina and is suing Kyrsten Sinema for alienation of affection.
It's only asking for $25,000.
That's crazy.
Well, no, point is, it's alienation of affections. It's a law down there.
In North Carolina,
yeah. If you cause it, you can be sued.
Well, she's being sued.
Anyway, by the way, what is she doing these days? It is called, she's in the psychedelic science industry.
That's right. Okay. Back to the Kennedy Center.
And she joined a law firm that works on cryptocurrency and artificial intelligence. She's got her fingers in every pie.
Especially the ones with all the money. Kennedy Center continues to lose headline acts as people realize that they can pull out of their commitments to perform there.
Well, we told you last week about losing the National Opera, and
Rick Grinnell says that he didn't. No, he fired them. They didn't quit. He fired them because so he could book others. He had two
Russians.
Exclusive.
Russians. And, he wants to book Russians. Well, I'm not kidding. You're going to see Russians rehabilitated in the opera world.
Yeah,
in the United States.
The contract with the Washington National Opera, he said, was too exclusive. So the Washington National Opera pulled out at the behest of its artistic director and
lesbian.
Yes, Francesca Zambello. That's her on the left with her wife in the middle. And Justice Elena Kagan on the right.
Well, and of course, Elena Kagan is not on the right. She's on the left of the court.
A lot of opera fans on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
So thank you to the we don't know anything about Elena Kagan's sexual orientation.
No, we don't.
But she's clearly friendly with the lesbians.
And she plays baseball.
So. So the Washington National Opera says it was not selling tickets at the Trump Kennedy Center. That's why they did pull out. They have found new spaces to perform in, and they're getting big donations for having pulled out. People are appreciating that. And Stephen Schwartz is back working with them. He and Jamie Bernstein, daughter of Leonard, are co-hosting the annual gala that he had earlier canceled out of when it was still at the Trump Kennedy Center.
Wait a minute. The Bernsteins, are they doing something good now? I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Jamie Bernstein,
yes.
Daughter of Leonard,
yes, yes, yes,
is co-hosting with Stephen Schwartz, the Washington National Opera
because
Gala.
Jamie Bernstein wrote this long op-ed about, I want my father's music to continue to be performed at the Kennedy Center. Don't you remember this?
I do, but I think it probably she would prefer that it be performed there without Trump in charge.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, the long-running Let Freedom Ring MLK concert will relocate from the Kennedy Center to the Howard University Theater in 2026, this year. And it's so they have pulled out. They've been doing that for years. So the Kennedy Center separately announced its own MLK programming featuring the Missionary Kings of Harmony of the United House of Prayer for All People Anacostia Congregation.
And the Martha Graham Dance Company also pulled out of performances scheduled at the Kennedy Center. Or the Trump Kennedy
so
Center.
So basically, somebody looked over the whole list of who's performing now, and they're it's a no-name list.
Yeah. footnote, not related to the Kennedy Center. Another Department of Defense, like they don't have enough to do. They stopped shipments of sex toys to U.S. troops in Bahrain. You know,
because it would offend the locals.
Yeah, sure. I don't think that's why.
And in Louisiana, a court is allowing a challenge to Louisiana's healthcare ban on trans to go forward.
And in Maine, the U.S. Department of Education is investigating a school that included a trans girl on a co-ed cheer team.
What's the issue?
There are only men and women.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So these beings are not human.
Yes,
and they don't exist.
Yes,
and that is. I don't think they'll win that one.
Well, I'd like to think not, but that is exactly where this is headed.
We have integrated sports. You know, I mean,
of course,
I always say, you know, I was on the bowling team at University of Virginia. And Maryland had a woman on their team, and she beat me fair and square.
And in New York City, they're investigating pro-trans student policies around sports
yep.
and bathrooms.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. In California, Equality California, you already covered that about the hospital. But,
yeah.
But
another correction. In addition to Becca and Renee not being married, in Alaska, Mary Peltola, my favorite new candidate, said it was $17 for a gallon of milk. not a gallon of gas. Milk, $17 a gallon. And her quote was something about, milk can be $17 a gallon in rural areas. They don't believe us. And so they're not willing to do anything about it. But she still has the best political slogan, fish, family, freedom.
That's the things we believe in. It's all right. That whole case about a Texas university banning drag shows on campus.
Yes.
Well, they got that horrible right-wing Matthew Kasmarek, is that his
Kasmarek.
Name? Kasmarek. To get the case again. And he ruled that drag is equivalent to blackface and therefore can be banned.
Denigrates women. We can have discussions about drag, but it is certainly not blackface.
Okay.
Although I have to say that some of the conversation about women around drag, like the backstage stuff on RuPaul's Drag Race, there's a lot of discussion of fish. And
yes, there are misogynist drag performers.
Yeah.
And there always have been. And yeah. We've seen them.
Yeah.
And they use the B word and all that stuff. And it's, and C word and all that stuff. And none of that is appropriate.
Right. But that doesn't mean
but that's not
that
what
West
this,
Texas A&M should that, be allowed to outlaw.
That's not what this was.
No.
All right. In Arkansas, so they hired a new dean of the law school, Emily Suskey. They took 2 years to find this woman. And then they found out she signed on to an amicus brief supporting trans athletes. That was it for the Republican legislators and the governor. The offer was withdrawn.
And it wasn't a very radical amicus brief. It basically said, let's send it down and get to the lower court. Let's get more information. Let's see whether we can make distinctions about who can play and who can't. And that was not acceptable.
Well, there's a chance that the U.S. Supreme Court will do that with the Federal Reserve case. Let's find out what's going on here first. That seems like the direction that they're leaning in. And by the way, Lisa Cook, who is the black Federal Reserve governor that Trump wants to get rid of, is represented by Paul Clement, who was the guy who argued against same-sex marriage in the Supreme Court.
Well, he's been on several sides of several issues.
Right.
But regarding
better news from
lawyer.
Virginia, where elections have consequences. Democratic Governor Abigail Spanberger, she was sworn in and she immediately moved to fill the boards of visitors of the Virginia universities with progressive majorities. I mean, she moved fast.
Yes, it was one of her first things. I love ambitious, fast-moving
Because my alma mater had signed on with some of this Trump anti-DEI stuff, which was outrageous. So I hope she can fix all that.
Well, she managed to get a lot of the existing board to resign and then put in progressive people. And in New York City, the new council speaker, Julie Menon, has cut committee assignments for Vicky Palladino of Queens, a council member, because of her abhorrent, bigoted comments.
She's quite upset about that, Vicky. She's a monster.
She is.
The Virginia, the Senate voted to repeal an amendment to the state constitution that defines marriage as only between a man and a woman. Now, I know you can get married down there. It's all covered by the Supreme Court and the Respect for Marriage Act and all this kind of stuff. But they're cleaning things up now.
Yes, we do not want to be in a position where the Supreme Court decides that Obergefell was bad and says we're going to let states decide state by state and then find that we have the old laws on the books that forbid marriage between two members of the same sex that we're stuck with.
So we go to Dallas?
Sure.
So, we showed you those wonderful, you can't do rainbow crosswalks. So the Oaklawn United Methodist Church painted their steps in rainbow colors. It's beautiful. That's a painting of it, actually.
Yeah.
But it's a landmark church. So they had to go through the Landmarks Preservation Committee. They said, at least give us a year to have this up there. And they said, we'll give you 3 years.
Yes, I like that a lot.
The pastor, we put up a picture of the pastor is an out lesbian. She's in the middle there. Rachel Griffin Allison, she said, silence in the face of harm always sides with the oppressor. And this is our gospel witness that we're doing here. So it's religious expression, not political expression. It has nothing to do with Governor Abbott's bigotry. It just, you know.
In D.C., Judge Beryl Howell has returned $12 million in funding to the American Academy of Pediatrics. They have lost $18 million in funding for their pro-trans positions, and the judge says, I'm giving you back two-thirds of that.
Let's go to Connecticut, where Maurice Sendak, the famous children's book author, illustrator, and everything, he died several years ago, 2012, at the age of 83. But he was a big resident of Ridgefield, gave a lot of money and raised a lot of money for the library. And Harvey Fierstein has led this campaign and got it approved to put up a statue of in his honor.
Yes. Maurice Sendak came out late in life, and they're going to have a big bronze statue.
And as we say, better late than never.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Virginia police have arrested a suspect. There was that woman who went after a gay guy in a Maryland
In the grocery
supermarket.
Store.
Yes. Well, she's finally been charged.
If you've seen that video, it's just outrageous. She is just harassing him right to his face.
Well,
endlessly.
I mean, do I have the quotes? Boy, get out of here with your gay ass! I'm sick of this gay ass. Well, she goes on and on in a more vulgar reign. So he filmed her because he said, who's going to believe me? And, so she is being charged.
Well, a survey by HRC of, they say, 14,000 people says half of them said they were more closeted in the last year because of things like this, macro and micro. Trans and non-binary people have trouble getting health care. Financial situation is worse. The only two sexes stuff is being thrown in their face. Trouble in the military, no DEI, no gender care. It's just going on. And so people are retreating and trying to protect themselves in these days.
But not here at Gay USA from the confines of our studio.
So
anyway.
Far. They haven't found us yet. It's nice to fly under the radar.
Well, here's an LGBTQ person who got into bad trouble. Ruby Corrado, the founder of Washington. She'd been a guest on this show. The founder of Washington, D.C.'s trans shelter, Casa Ruby. We told you about the story. She embezzled funds. Her lawyer says she didn't use them for personal use. But who knows? It was a lot of money. She's finally been, she was convicted, and she's getting a 33-month prison term. I'm surprised she hasn't been deported.
Oh, well, hold your breath. That'll be coming. Did you see our mayor, Mamdani, on The View?
Yes,
he was
some
asked what he thought about ICE, and he said, I'm abolishing ICE.
You can't reform something. I mean, they say Democrats are worried about the slogan abolish ICE, like defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
But this agency as constructed has to be stopped, and you need something in its place that engages in humane and decent enforcement of our laws.
We need a return to our purported values.
Yes.
In New York City, a gay man was kissing his partner on a number 6 train headed downtown to 23rd Street.
This is not late at night or anything.
No, and it's a train I take fairly often. And a guy sitting there objected, and they got into an argument, and the objector slashed him with a knife.
And again, look, for a long time, a lot of unstable men, which is a lot of men.
Yeah, you don't hear about women with knives.
Well, occasionally. But who they become unhinged when they see something homosexual. They become unhinged. Now, some of that is within them, and some of it is now being validated by what's going on
absolutely.
In society.
Absolutely. And, this whole study about rejection of LGBTQ people, I haven't seen the study, so I haven't looked at the methodology enough, and I haven't seen a breakdown of who it is who's I just swallowed wrong. Okay. Thank you. So I don't know if this is young men whose animus is rising. I suspect it is, but I will hope to get a look at that study for more detail.
All right. International news?
Not quite yet.
Okay, go ahead.
In Florida, they're concerned because the legislature is now going back into session for 60 days, their annual thing. They've got a ton of anti-LGBT bills.
Although a lot of them were stopped last time.
They were.
But we had Nadine Smith there last time.
That's
true.
We
don't this time. We have her successor.
Yeah,
who's been there a long time.
Strong guy, and I don't think Nadine's going to disappear entirely. they're studying primate groups again for homosexual behavior. There are books already written about this. You don't really have to study it that closely.
Well, this is a UK study.
Yeah.
And, they found same-sex behavior in 59 primate species, common in 23 of those species, and they say it suggests a common evolutionary route. They say, don't draw too many things about
it. Don't interpret this as human or LGBT.
But what we found shows that same-sex is not something far aberrant or rare. It's everywhere. The point of their study was it's very useful. It's very important. It has an evolutionary.
They're attributing it as a reaction to stress among
ease tension, reduce conflict, and build bonds.
Please. They're always looking for excuses.
Kiss me instead of punch me.
Over yourselves.
Come on.
Well, it's just it's another attempt to define it down, to say.
Oh, you think?
Yes, because it's not saying there's a natural attraction or some reason for primates to have sex with each other. They say, it's a reaction to stress. It's,
think they love each other?
Not in this study.
Okay. All right.
Now, do I think? Yes.
Let's start with a nice story about Olympic curling star. That's one of those winter ice sports.
My grandfather was a curler.
Bruce Buat, who came out as gay a couple of years ago, right? But he is being featured by the IOC, among other...
International Olympic Committee.
Yes. They're saying, if you come out, you're going to have a happier and more productive
as
and more successful.
As we have always said.
Is that an okay conclusion?
Safer, happier, more successful. That has been my mantra for 40 years.
He says, it was when I felt more comfortable that my success started to happen.
Yes. So he's a role model.
As you know from watching Heated Rivalry.
Well, given the Olympic Committee's,
he's a Scot, by the way.
Of course. Iffy performance on LGBT issues and their retreat lately more and more on trans issues. I'm delighted they're doing this, but let's not give them a total pass.
Okay. We're in a great story, and I'm going to link to it in our email. So sign up for our weekly email at gayusatv.org. Get on our email list, and you get once a week email, and it tells you, other things that are happening in more depth. And then Gus Kenworthy is out gay, is going to be back for his fourth Olympics. He's going to be playing for Team Great Britain.
He was born in Great Britain.
And he competes in slopestyle, halfpipe, and big air, these freestyle skiing things. And he won a silver medal in 2014 at the Sochi Winter Olympics.
Then he got depressed for a while, and now he's back.
He came out the next year.
Yeah.
And,
and we're going to have a real-life Heated Rivalry story at the Olympics with lesbian hockey players. They currently play on separate league teams in Canada, one Toronto, one Ottawa. They are engaged and enemies on the ice, engaged in real life.
That sounds like a good topic for the next Netflix show.
Now they're doing lesbian softball, as I told you last week.
Well, they can still do hockey. Yes. Hockey's become very hot.
Lesbians are everywhere.
Right. Absolutely. Especially in sports.
Exactly.
Disproportionately. because they don't care what men think.
Exactly. And they're having fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we lost Valentino Garavani. They called him fashion's last emperor. He died at 93 in Rome. I mean, this is the guy who made dresses for Jackie Kennedy, Elizabeth Taylor, Julia Roberts, Princess Diana.
Julia Roberts, I meant to ask you to dig up the picture of Julia.
Well, the first picture we're showing you is of him and his longtime business partner, but paramour for 12 years.
Yes. The New York Times was very careful to point out that their romantic relationship lasted a limited amount of time, but they continued to be lifelong business.
And they continued to be gay.
Well, you know, how many heterosexual couples do they define as, well, they had sex for these years and then they stopped, but they stayed together?
Well, anyway.
I didn't like that.
All right.
So that's Giancarlo Giametti.
Yes, who was still alive and is a hell of a story. I mean,
is a hell of a story.
He's the brains behind the business. I mean, Valentino was not a businessman. It was his homosexual lover who made him. I mean, they met when the guy was a 19-year-old architecture student.
The dress that Julia Roberts wore when she won the Oscar, the black dress with white piping, is so gorgeous. And that was a Valentino dress, very remarked upon at the time. Look that up. But you can see the documentary, The Last Emperor, which is all about Valentino.
Okay. Who did the apes?
And in Russia, streaming services that have been running heated rivalry are now being charged with subjecting minors to LGBT propaganda.
People have been watching a lot of bootleg copies of it.
Yeah.
All right. AIDS and health news. So you talked about the American Academy of Pediatrics, but, you know, Trump and RFK Jr. are the real narco-terrorists. The administration just this past week canceled $1.9 billion in funding for substance abuse and mental health care, affecting thousands of patients. Now, you know, they claim to be bombing boats in the, you know, in the Caribbean to stop the flow of drugs. And then they are just denying all this help for people who are struggling with drug addiction.
Well, Trump today, as we are taping on Wednesday, spent quite a bit of time in his rambling speech to the World Economic
Forum. Very hard to listen to.
I listen to it a lot. But he talked about drug prices and how the U.S. has been ripped off for years and the Europeans and everybody else around the world get much cheaper prices on drugs, and how he's bullying France and other countries into
charging more.
Yes. And not one single word about talking to the drug companies about lowering prices, because they are, next to the defense industry, the most profitable sector in the world in terms of profits. And he's not jawboning them. He's jawboning other countries to pay more for drugs so that the U.S. prices can be lowered.
Don't you resent that? I mean, if nothing else, is that, is,
well,
you know,
when I
or
think,
do you say, oh, please, master, charge us more?
When I think of all the time we spend in ACT UP attacking drug companies for their high prices and trying...
Sitting in their offices.
Chaining themselves in their offices, requiring chainsaws.
And getting them to lower the prices.
Yes, exactly. Attacking them on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, on and on and on. But no, Trump is not going after them. He's going after other countries. Now, meanwhile, the Trump administration had proposed many big cuts to HIV funding. Congress has rejected that and has restored funding for prevention and treatment, increased funding for hepatitis prevention.
Yes,
and
but can you make them spend it?
Well, there's the other thing. They don't follow any law.
Right.
Look what they're doing with the Epstein files.
Right.
All right.
Or the military. All right. okay, it's time for your weekly heated rivalry updates. Francois Arnaud, who plays Scott Hunter, pictured there with Robbie GK as Kip, he gave an interview and he said, I don't think this show could have been made in the U.S. He said, you know, when it was being considered, he said, by a big streamer, they had so many notes and thoughts about the show that, you know, Jacob Tierney gave up on them. They said, you can't show any kissing until the third episode.
Fifth episode.
Kissing. They were showing all out sex in the first episode.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why, probably, that it is, you're right, the fifth episode. So,
well, that's why they went to a small Canadian company to make it for a lot less money, make it a lot more on the cheap, but they got it produced.
But picked up by the gay CEO of HBO Max, who thinks this is going to be a winner.
He had no idea.
I like it.
He had no idea how big a winner it was going to be. Oh. By the way, Francis Arnaud was on Watch What Happens.
He's out gay, by the way.
Yes.
None of the others have really declared themselves.
He was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen this week. Totally funny and charming.
Yeah.
Really smart
Great
guy.
Great guy. Yeah. So Gail King on the failing CBS Morning Show embarrassed herself by saying to Arnaud, this wasn't on my card to watch, but she did because it was making so much news. And she realized it's so much bigger than a gay love story. I really hate when they say crap like that, Gail. How about just saying it's a great gay love story, which is what it is. Not just one gay. There were two big gay love stories in it.
And wait till you see the lesbian softball players.
So then NHL commissioner Gary Bettman was asked about it. He's the National Hockey League. And he has given the show a stamp of approval. He binge-watched the show.
Watched it all in one night.
And he said, it's very compelling, a lot of fun. He said, I think it's a wonderful story. The contents, particularly for young people, might be a little spicy, he said. Now, of course, this is the guy who, you know, has cut back on, like, you know,
Pride
insignia, yeah, on that kind of
rainbow
stuff.
Tape and merchandise and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not good.
Because he said we shouldn't force players to do things they're uncomfortable with.
Well, it's all the Russian players in the NHL who have freaked out about all that, and that led the NHL to capitulate.
Okay.
Long before Trump came along. All right, that's that. And then we have, celebrating the marriage of Joel Kim Booster. And video game producer John Michael Sutsina.
Married in San Francisco, big wedding. Bowen Yang was there, who also starred in Fire Island. Yeah. Anyway, sounds like a fun affair. I went to see, I had a unique theatrical experience.
Yes.
I'm sitting in my chair, I'm wearing a headset. And then right across from me there are four chairs, and one of them is four actors like that. That's what you don't see it like that. They are staring right at you and talking to you, each person in the audience. And it's a very intimate thing.
It's all AI.
It's all AI.
You don't have real people in front of you.
No. They're not there. But, I mean, it is intimate. They're not wearing their shoes. We had, they had bare feet. We had to take off our shoes. I don't know why, but I got to see a lot of Ian McKellen's feet. They were all good actors. It's only 47 minutes. It's a weird experience, but it was so intimate. And they're talking, the story of the play is about the journey of life.
It's not, I think I saw it described originally as a biographical Ian McKellen thing. No.
Really? I don't think so, because it sounded a little bit more heterosexual. But it was written by Simon Stevens, who did The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, who is a good playwright.
We've skipped over our Jeopardy clip.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's put it in there.
Mary L. Bonato of Glad Law argued on behalf of this Ohio man in a landmark Supreme Court case in 2015. Brendan.
Is Obergefell?
Correct.
Now, he turned out to be a just finished law school. So that's how he knew.
It's an impressive.
Well, they didn't even say what the case was about, you know, which was about same sex marriage.
Yeah.
Mary
Bonato is the giveaway, but.
Oh, yeah. Ross.
To us, yes.
Well, they had to identify the plaintiff, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. So John Cameron Mitchell is going to be in O. Mary starting on February 3rd for 12 weeks. He's out gay. He's known as the original star and, you know, writer of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. He said, Cola Scola and Sam Pinkleton, the director, are the wild horses that dragged me back to drag, and I couldn't be happier. As the most mature Mary yet, my days are filled with working the Stairmaster, mainlining Ozempic, and mastering my brilliant dialogue line. Thank you, Cole. May I do you proud, mangling your classic. Now, Jinx Monsoon is in it right now until then, the trans star.
I kind of would like to see Jinx do it. And John Cameron Mitchell is an old ACT UP colleague and a terrific writer, actor, and everything
else. Well, our associate producer was very eager to see John Cameron Mitchell, and they were very obliging and are going to let us go see it on Lincoln's birthday, February 12th.
Should be special. All right.
I hope so. I hope there's cake.
And some new casting in Hadestown starting March 3rd. J. Harrison
G-H-E-E.
Yeah.
Well, now that's a gay star, Joshua Colley, who's going to. Yeah. He's definitely not straight. That's his line. I'm definitely not straight. Anyway.
Is that a Kirsten?
Doesn't want a label.
Okay. Not yet, anyway.
And then, you know, if you've seen Wicked, Jonathan Bailey, Ariana Grande, right?
Yep.
They're now going to be co-starring in a revival of Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George, the musical, which is about George's now show. They took a picture of a picture of themselves in front of the famous painting by Seurat, the Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte. It's going to debut summer 2027 at the Barbican Center, and it's directed by Marianne Elliott.
Who has done great stuff, but I was not a big fan of the play.
Oh. Okay.
I saw one of the revivals, and...
I loved it.
Did not stay through it.
I loved it.
Yep.
Well, it depends on which version you saw.
Yeah.
I finally saw Chloe Zhao's film Hamnet, and, you know, for a while, this is just a story of a couple that lost a kid. And it's, you know, and in that sense, not special other than the way it's filmed and the tremendous acting. But when they, and that's the little boy, Hamnet, who was the son of Shakespeare, who died at the age of 11 in the plague. But when they show Shakespeare integrating or dealing with this by writing Hamlet, and then they perform part of Hamlet with the wife there watching, it becomes very effective.
All right. And you also saw Blue Moon, the Rogers and Hart show?
Well, you know, Lorenz Hart, who was played by Ethan Hawke, and that's Andrew Scott, the out gay actor. He's so obnoxious that it's almost hard to watch. But Andrew Scott's terrific.
Okay. Well, we have a couple of minutes.
Oh, you know, so again, that movie takes place on the night that Oklahoma opens.
Yeah.
Richard Rodgers had written almost all of his songs and musicals with Lorenz Hart, but Hart became impossible. He was obnoxious. He was a drunk, I mean, et cetera. So he just stopped working with him. And then he hooks up with Oscar Hammerstein, and
this is
the great success.
Histoire.
And, you know, Hart died really shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of pneumonia. In right here in Manhattan, but it's I just wanted him to be more interesting as a character, and he's just sort of so obnoxious. It's just too much.
Too lazy.
I don't know if it's lazy. Maybe he was like that. I don't know. But why would you? You know. Anyway. So.
Here we are, anticipating the end of the world any minute now.
Well, you know.
You know, our friend Norman Siegel wrote a piece. Yes, great civil liberties attorney for many years. And he has an editorial in the Daily News this week that says, well, we got through the first year. We got three to go. Are we going to make it?
No, well, not if it continues at this pace.
Not feeling good about any of it.
No, it's ugly.
Well, when you look at the wealth and power of the United States and see that this bully and dictator is taking advantage of that to bully the entire world.
Well, very encouraged by the actions of the Canadian Prime Minister.
Yeah.
What's his name? Harney? Yeah. Isn't it?
I don't know.
He's great. He gave a great speech at Davos.
5 seconds.
And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.